Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Chet and Aleph, about six lines down as the lines widen out. The Gemara here just discussed the 18 brachot, the Shemona Esrei, why the brachot are in the order that they're in and the sources for that. Now the Gemara goes back to the original statement, which was Michi Me'achar, Demei Ve'esrim Zgenim, Umehem Kama Nevi'im Tiknu Tefillah La'Seder. Since the Tefillah was created by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, Shimon HaPikuli Ma'izdir. What was Shimon HaPikuli setting up or putting together in front of Rabban Gamliel? The Shemoneh Esrei was developed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. What was his addition or what was his contribution here? The Gemara answers something similar to what we've seen before, which is Shachachum v'chazar v'sidrum. That the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah put it together, and then it fell into disuse or was forgotten exactly what they had put together. And he went ahead and relearned or reestablished that which was done before by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So he put into place in the time of Rabban Gamliel, but he was putting into place something that already existed, but had fell into disuse or was not remembered well. And then he reestablishes the Shemon Esrei, the 18 brachot. Now the Gemara says, Mikan ve'elech asur l'saper b'shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beyond that which is determined here, the 18 brachot, the Shemon Esrei, a person can't go on and just put whatever he wants in and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Damar Abelazar, my dechtiv, what is meant by the pasuk, mi yimalel gvurot Hashem, yashmia kol tilato. Who's the one who can speak about the greatness of Hashem? The one who can tell all of the praises of Hashem. So, lemi na'eh lemalel gvurot Hashem. Who is appropriate to say over the gvurot, the greatness, or the great wonders of Hashem? Lemi sheyachol hashmia kol tilato. Only one who can tell everything that is worthy of praise to Hashem. And obviously, that is not possible. Nobody can get all the praises that is worthy, and therefore, one is not able to praise Hashem, or not able to extend the Shemoneh Esrei beyond what was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Amar Rabba Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan, HaMesaper B'Shivcho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoter Midai, someone who speaks praise of Hashem too much, it's overkill, Nekar Min HaOlam, he's knocked out of the world, he's eliminated from the world, Shenemar. Because the pasuk says, "Hayisupar lo ki adaber imamar ish ki yivula." So now the way that the pashtur pasuk is, was it told to him ki adaber when I would speak imamar ish ki yivula? Should a man wish that he is swallowed up? Now the way the Rashi reads it is, "Hayisupar lo ki adaber." Is there someone who can tell over and speak about him? Imamarish ki yuvla. Because if someone does speak up, then certainly they will be swallowed up. I mean, someone who attempts to give the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will be swallowed up because a person is unable to do that properly. Dabarash Rabbi Yehuda ishkvar givurayo. Ramila ishkvar gibor chayo. Maidichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk lecha dumya tehila? That praise awaits you, Hashem. Here the Gemara is playing on the word dumia from the word domim, dome, to be silent, which is lecha dumia tila. To you, silence is praise. Sama dekula mashtoka, the medicine that is the salve of all things, is mashtoka, is silence. Kiata avdimi ame amrei b'marova, they say in Eretz Yisrael, this is the way they express it is, mila b'sela, that if you're willing to pay a sela for words of wisdom, meshtuka betrain, you'd be willing to pay two sela for silence. And that silence is more expensive than people speaking or giving their words. That sometimes the silence is more important and the more appropriate response or the way that one should conduct themselves in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means here, samadakula mashtuka, that sometimes the salve, the medicine, is just to be silent. Or sometimes to be silent is worth more than speaking up. And that's true with regards to the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Brachot asks in a similar way about the Shemoneh Esrei. There it says, Akela Gadola Gibor Vanura. Over there it speaks about how come we can't keep going on and on and on. And the Gemara there says, Siyamta Shavacha Demari. Have you finished saying all the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So then Gemara says, well, then how can we say Akela Gadola Gibor Vanara? How can we say that? We didn't finish saying all the Shvachot Vashem. Gemara there says it's because Moshe Rabbeinu already expressed that praise to Hashem. So we're able to lift that which is written in Tanakh, and we can utilize that to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we use something that's already given to us, then we can give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From that also derives many of the slichot and many of the different poems that we have that we read as part of the liturgy, that they follow an acrostic or they follow the aleph bet. And that is because then they have a natural end to them. So if you were to write something, then you have the problem of the Gemara and Brachot, the problem over here, which is, how could you stop? How could you end at any given point? There's so much more to say. There's so much more praise for Hashem. There's so much more to ask. But if you do it through a artificial measure, like something like the Aleph Bet, then you stop because, not because you finished up the praise of Hashem, but because the letters of the Aleph Bet have run out. So there you can use an artificial way to meter or measure out your praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without running into that problem. So that's basically how we deal with this issue, is that we either take praise from psukim that give us the right to say them because they are psukim already and they're part of the canon, or we use self-metering type of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu which end of themselves because they have some sort of order or acrostic to them, rather than something that just ends because, oh, we finished saying whatever we were supposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what's meant over here, that sometimes being silent, even though you know that Hashem deserves much praise and deserves much more than we can say, sometimes being silent is more impressive, because if you try to or attempt to speak out all the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you fall short. But if you're silent, at least that remains, that endless or that inability to express all the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shown by the fact that you're silent because you can't say it all. Right now, the Gemara continues with what was said in the Mishnah, which is Karal Peh Lo Yatsa. Person reads it by heart, they're not Yotze. Minalon, how do you know that you can't read the Megillah by heart? Samar Rava Atya Zechira Zechira. We have a Gzera Shava of Zechira Zechira. And it's written by Amalek in the end of Parshat Bishalach, Tov Zot Zikaron B'Sefer, Malahalan B'Sefer, Akan B'Sefer. Just like over there it says, Tov Zot Zikaron, the Zikaron is B'Sefer, is in a book. So too, Avkan B'Sefer. Where it says, Umimai Dehai Zikira Kriyahi. Okay, I agree with you that you have to put it into a Sefer. That means that the Megillah must be written. It must become from a sefer. How do you know that the zechira that is mentioned here means you must read that sefer? Duma iyun ba'alma. Maybe it just means to look at it, to glance at it, to see it. Who says you have to actually articulate that which is written in this sefer? It says lo sakadatcha, because the tanya zachor, when it comes to mechiyat amalek that's found in Dvarim, by Pashar Kitetze, it says zachor, yachol b'leiv. Zachor, you must remember. You would think that means that you must remember in your heart. Shomer lo tishkach, when the psukim over there says you may not forget, hare shichrat alev amur. That already says that you may not forget, that it's the lev. So what is zachor? Zachor now must be something more active, which is bepeh. It means something that you have to articulate, you have to say. We have that in other places as well. We have it by zachor, it's Yom HaShabbat HaGadusho. That over there, zachor also is understood to mean you must articulate the Kedushat HaShabbat, you have to say Kiddush. That's where we get from Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho, that you have to be Mekadesh the Shabbat, and that's through an active articulation of the Kedushat HaShabbat, or through Kiddush. So also over here, Mechiyat HaMalek, to remember Mechiyat HaMalek consists of two things. One is that you must remember, that means that in your heart, you must know, you must remember, but it also requires articulation of it. And so to over here, by the zikaron that is mentioned by the Megillah, that zikaron is not simply to remember or to glance at it. It means to articulate, to say it. So you have two requirements here. One requirement is that it come mitzoch ha-sefer, has to be read out of a book, and that's the requirement to read it from the Megillah. And number two is, when you read it from the Megillah, you must read it or articulate it and say it out loud. And that comes out of the fact that zechira, and obviously the examples that are brought here in the Gemara, are two examples of Mechiyat HaMalek, which, as we saw before earlier in the Masechta, that the Megillah itself is another manifestation of Mechiyat HaMelech and the showdown between Mordechai and Haman HaAgagi. Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean other times in the Torah where there's a requirement to remember? Yeah, see, I think there, in those instances, I mean, there are people who believe that those Zachor require articulation, but they don't require Mitoch HaSefer. I think that's what's different about all the others, which is that you do have to remember them, and many people have them in the Siddur, where you should say them and read those Psukim, but they don't have to be Mitoch HaSefer. I think that here, as well as Kriyat Amalek, both require Kriyat Mitoch HaSefer, which makes them much more important and a focus of the Kriyat. Right now, the Mishnah continues, Kriyat Targum Lo Yatza. If you read the translation into Aramaic of the Megillah, then you're not Yotze. Afterwards, it says also, Kriyat B'chol Lashon, if you read it in any language, Lo Yatza. And as Rashi says, that Zu Ein Tzerech Lomar Zu Ktani, means not only this, of course, you can't read it in any language, but even Targum, even the Aramaic, you can't read it. So that's what the Gemara says, that Aramaic and certainly other languages, you can't read it. So now, Gemara wants to understand, Hechi Dami, what is this case? Ilei ma dechtiva mikra vikari le targum, that the Megillah is written in Hebrew, and then you translate it on the fly, and you read it in Aramaic on the fly, hainu al peh. That's no different than reading it by heart. In that, kriya mitocha sefer requires that you read what is written in the sefer. If you're articulating something that's not written in the sefer, then it's equivalent of reading by heart. Gemara says, lo, detzricha dechtiva targum vikari le targum. The case in the Mishnah where you may not do it is if the Megillah is written in Targum and you read it in Targum, that's when we say it doesn't work. Aval, Korim, Oto Lolazot, Belaz. Then the Mishnah says that you can read it to those that understand foreign languages or languages besides Hebrew, you can read it to them in that language. Va'amart, and as we mentioned when we did this in the Mishnah, here the Gemara says, didn't you just say, Kerab Echol Lashon Yatza? If you read it in any other language, you're not Yotze. So how do I reconcile between the fact that the Mishnah says you may not read it in any other language versus the Mishnah now saying that if you read it in a language that you understand, you're Yotze. So Rabbi Shmuel Damrei Tarvayu Bilaz Yivani. Here we're talking about the language that is Greek. Hechidami. Again, what's the case here? Ilei Mechtiva Ashurit. If you tell me that it's written in Hebrew, V'kari Le Yivanit, and he's reading Greek, Hainu Al Peh. Again, that's reading it by heart. So it can't be that. But rather, it must be, it's written in Greek. It's written in Greek. And you read it in Greek, then you're okay. That's what Rav and Shmuel suggest over here. So here we have another statement, an agadic statement by Rav Acha Amar Rav Elazar, which takes us off course for a second. And then we'll come back to the sugya here. But since there's another agadic statement by this same Amora, the Gemara brings them together, which is, Minayin Shikaro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Kel. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Yaakov Kel, a powerful one, a god, Shenemar? Because it says, Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. So here it's a reference to the story when Yaakov buys the Sadeh outside of Shechem. After he buys the Sadeh outside of Shechem, he builds a Mizbeach. And when it says, when he builds that Mizbeach, it says, Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. So the Pashtut of the Pasuk is that Yaakov called the Mizbeach Kel Elokei Yisrael. Rashi over there comments on the fact that doesn't mean necessarily that he called the Mizbeach that, but rather through that Mizbeach, the Kel Elokei Yisrael was known or made known. But here, he has the Gadic interpretation is that it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling Yaakov Kel. If you think that like the Pashtut HaPasuk, the Mizbeach, Karele Yaakov Kel, that Yaakov is calling the Mizbeach Kel, then he should say, Vayikra Lo Yaakov Mi Ba'ilei. To say Yaakov called it Kel. Ella, what does it say here? It says, Vayikra lo le Yaakov Kel. That rather, Yaakov himself is called a Kel. Omi karo Kel. And who called him a Kel? Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. That's the Agadic interpretation over here, that Yaakov is also known as a Kel. Or, I guess the proper interpretation would be here, the same way that we would have said it about the Mizbeach itself. Not that the Mizbeach itself is the God, but rather through the Mizbeach, God is well known, or becomes known to the world. So, if we can say that about the Mizbeach, we can say it about Yaakov Avinu himself. That Kro Kel means that the manifestation of God is seen through Yaakov Avinu. And that's what it means, that okay, so calls him a Kel, that God is seen through this individual. Right now, the Gemara continues here, and that goes back to the topic that we're on, which is this idea that when you read in a foreign language, that you can be Yotze, versus if you read in a foreign language, that you're not Yotze. So the first attempt to reconcile with Rav and Shmuel is that's a difference in Greek. Every other language, if you read in that language, you're not Yotze. With Greek, you are Yotze. So now the Gemara says, Meteve, Kira'a giftit, Ivrit, Elamit, Madit, Yivanit, lo yatza. If you read in any of these languages, then you're not Yotze. Ivrit is the Lashon of Ever HaNahar. Elamit is from Elam, where Shushan is the capital, some sort of Persian dialect. Madit is Media, Yivanit, Greek. Giftit, I think, is one of the African dialects. Lo yatza, then you are not Yotze. If that's the case, then Yivanit here is included in one of those items that you read and you're not Yotze. Someone says, no, halo damya laha. No, this is not, you got the wrong comparison to the Braita that we just quoted. There's another Braita, and that's what it's more like. Laha. Giftit, le giftim. Ivrit, le ivrim. Elamit, le elamim. Yivanit, le yivanim, yatza. So here, the other Braita says, if you read to an individual in their language, then they are Yotze. So the distinction between these two Braitot is, the one Braita says, if you read in a foreign language, you're not Yotze, that's when you don't understand the language. Whereas the second Braita says, if this is your vernacular, this is your language, then you are Yotze the Megillah. And that's what it's meant over here. Gemara says, well, if that's the way that you're going to learn the Mishnah now, Ihachi, Rav Shmuel, Amai Mukmi Lalamatinan Balaz Yivanit. Why does Rav Shmuel only set up our Mishnah to be talking about Greek? Lokma b'cholas. Then it makes no difference. It doesn't have to be just Greek. It can be any language. El Gemara says, Elamatnitan Kebraito. The explanation of our Mishnah is now understood through the Braita, which is the part of the Mishnah that says that if you read in any language, you're not Yotze. That is for someone who does not understand the language. On the other hand, if you read in a language that a person does understand, then you are Yotze, and that's the meaning of the Mishnah. That's the difference in the two stages of the Mishnah. Now, Rav and Shmuel themselves, they are v'chi itmar the Rav Shmuel be'alma itmar. Their statement is an independent statement, has nothing to do with our Mishnah, which is Rav Shmuel da'amrei tarvayu lazi v'ani lakol kasher. They believe, where the Rabbeinu Chananel expresses it here, which is, for Rav and Shmuel, Greek has the same status as Lashon HaKodesh. Which is that, just like by Lashon HaKodesh, which we said in the Mishnah, if you read it as Shurit, you're Yotze, even if you don't understand it, so too by Yivani, so too by Greek. If you read it in Greek, it's not limited to the Yivanim, it can be read to anybody, in Lakol Kasher. Now, Gemara says, V'aktani Yivanim le'Yivanim. Wait a minute, didn't you just say that with the Braita, when it comes to Yivanit, Livanim in the Kuli Amalo, it's only good for Greeks, but it's not good for everybody else. It says, Imu ta'amar ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who we saw back on Daf Ched Amud Bet, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argues in the Mishnah that Greek has a unique status, and Greek is different than any other language. That's not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel mer, af svarim lo itiru shi yichtivu el Yivanit. That svarim can only be written in Greek. So the lame rule, halacha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So then, why don't they make a much simpler statement, which is the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Iamri halacha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If you said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, havamina hani milei shar sfarim. That's true by other books. Havam Megillah, by Megillah, it doesn't work. Dichtiv ba kichtavam, because over there it says kichtavam kizmanam and kichtavam kiel shonam, that it was written in the language of the people, meaning only that language, the language of the Lashon HaKodesh. So emalo. You would say it wouldn't work, mashwalan, that that's not the case. And if you remember from the Gemara earlier on, this presents us with a number of issues, two main issues, which is that the Gemara earlier on, first of all, said that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, or one of the distinctions the Gemara made there, which is Ein Bein, in terms of Sfarim and the Megillah, is that Sfarim or other Sfarim can be written in Greek, but the Megillah cannot be written in Greek. And that was one of the distinctions that was drawn there by the Amoraim. Tosafot over there comments on that and says, well, this statement of Rav and Shmuel over here disagrees with that. And in the end, that's what he concludes, that there is actually a machloket between the two sugyot, and that the Amora over there makes such a distinction, does not subscribe to the position of Rav and Shmuel. The possibility of why Greek is unique is for one or two reasons. The Gemara before comments on that and says the reason that Greek is so unique is because Yafta Lukim the Yefet v'Ishkon Balei Shem. They learn it out of the Pasuk that Yefet has a special place within the Ohel of Shem. And the Gemara over there says it has to do with Yavan, the son of Yefet, because their language has that unique status. And therefore, it's B'toch Ohel Shem. That's one way to view it, and that the Gemara discusses earlier. The other way to look at it is that Greek was viewed as more of a universal language, which is that there were languages spoken in every area, but the common language that was spoken by everybody, everywhere you went, was Greek. And therefore, Greek has that unique status of being a, I call it an international language. It might be akin to English today, which is that it became the language of communication, even though not everybody speaks English, but on the international forum, that's where people speak. Despite the fact that they come from different languages, their communication or language of communication is sometimes English, because that's, quote-unquote, the international language. Obviously, it has a nafka mina today as to whether Greek maintains the status because of that pasuk of Yachta Lekimi Yofet, or is the language today that was Greek then is English today, so maybe English takes on that status today of what Greek had in that time period. It's a difference in how you view why Greek is unique over here. Right now, the other thing is that the Gemara earlier on says that a Megillah that has to be written in Ashurit. You can't write it in any other language. So how do you reconcile that with this Gemara? This Gemara over here says that you can read in foreign languages and be yotze. According to Rav Shmuel, you can read Greek and be yotze for everybody, or motzi everybody. Everybody agrees that if you read in a language that a person understands, you're also yotze. So how do we reconcile that with the fact that the Megillah has to be written in Ashurit? So Tosafot earlier on, there's a Tosafot back on Chet Amud Bet that deals with this issue and tries to reconcile between our Gemara and the Gemara back on Chet Amud Bet. And over there, Tosafot discusses the fact that there are different statuses with regards to a Sefer that is written in Ashurit versus a Sefer that is written in any other language. And that's what he writes over here. V'yesh lamar, v'kevin she'enak she'ra l'krot ela l'makirim ba, dinu shelot t'tameh et hayadayim. אבל היכה דכתיבה אשורית כשרה אף לשאין המכירין, שמחי דינו שתתאמה את הידיים. So Tosafot says that something that's written in Hebrew takes on a kedusha, meaning that it's kitvei hakodesh, because anybody could read it and be yotze, even if you don't understand the language. And therefore it's metame yadayim, because it has the status of kitvei hakodesh. On the other hand, any other language, when you write the Megillah in that language, it doesn't have a status of kitvei hakodesh. It's sufficient to be called a Sefer that if you read from it, you can be Yotze the Megillah, but it's not on a high enough status to create or have it be called Kitvei HaKodesh. And that's how he reconciles between the Gemara before that demands that it be written in Ashurit in order to be considered a Megillah or part of Kitvei HaKodesh, and our Gemara over here, which seems to imply that you can do it in any language. The other Rishonim, like the Riaz and the Gra, who say that the reconciliation of this Gemara is that if you're going to read it in a foreign language for people to understand, it must be transliterated. It has to be written in Hebrew on a Sefer, but if you're going to read it in a foreign language, then you have to transliterate it through the Hebrew letters. And by doing so, you now reconcile the two Gemarot, the Gemara over there that demands Ashurit in order to be Kitvei HaKodesh, as well as the fact that over here you can read it in a foreign language. So it has to be written in Hebrew letters, on a sefer, on a klaf. Just question of what the Hebrew letters say. Do they spell out the Hebrew words, or do they transliterate and spell out the foreign language through the Hebrew letters? And so that would be the way that you could be motzi someone in terms of using a foreign language. There are those that believe that you can use a chumash to fill in, which we're going to see in a second, to fill in words that you miss along the way. But you cannot read the entire Megillah from a chumash, because we just saw before the requirement that it be done to sefer, that it be done out of a book, be done out of something that is written. Written meaning in the status of a sefer. And Tosafot just lowers that threshold and says that a sefer doesn't necessarily have to be something that's kitvei hakodesh, but it has to be something that has all the trappings of kitvei hakodesh, but never attains that status just because it's not written in Hebrew. So that's one of the issues, again, in terms of reconciling between that Gemara before. And then, again, we discussed the other issue, which is that Rav and Shmuel over here say that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that Greek is unique. And Greek is so unique that you can even read the Megillah in Greek for people who don't understand it. That doesn't necessarily reconcile with some of the distinctions that we made back on Chet Amud Bet, and that the Amora that makes that distinction, who says that Rav Shimon Gamliel believes that you cannot write a Megillah in Greek, is obviously arguing on this. This is on Ted Amud Aleph. Tosfot says, Tzarech lomar, shezeh mitaretz, ein sover de Rav Shimon Gamliel, kai kavate de Rav Shmuel. To the Kaman, he holds that Rav Shimon Gamliel does not hold the Rav Shmuel later on. He'll sover de Rav Shimon Gamliel, lohitir Megillah le Shirit. He believes that Rav Shimon Gamliel believes you can only write it in Shirit, and you cannot write it in Greek. So Rav Shmuel disagree with, or the Amora who makes that distinction disagrees with Rav Shmuel and our Gemara over here. The other reason to be more makil with regards to a Megillah, and why you would think that Kichtavam is a requirement to say that it must be written in the proper way versus any other sefer in Tanakh, why would you think the Megillah is unique, is because the Megillah itself is called an Igeret, it's called a letter. So since it's called an Igeret, you would have thought that maybe there's room to be makil by the Megillah and to have a different din by Megillah than you have by any other sefer in Tanakh. The answer in the end is no. Kichtavam. The Kichtavam tells you that no, you must do it like you would do any other sefer in Tanakh. And therefore the only thing that works here is either Ashurit or Yivanit according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But it's not free reign. You can't use any language or cannot be written in any language. Right now, the Gemara continues. Baloaz Shishama Ashurit Yatsa. Anybody who hears in Hebrew is Yotze. Now here we have a very important statement of the Gemara. V'halo Yada, my comrade. Well, if he listens to it in Hebrew and doesn't understand Hebrew, then what have you accomplished? They don't understand what you're reading. Mar says, Mi dahava anashim ve'amei aretz. It's similar to the women and the amei aretz who don't understand what's being read. So here, this is an important statement of the Gemara. It's true all the way through the time of the Rishonim and almost into the modern era, which is that in terms of service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, most people had two languages. They had the vernacular, the language that they spoke in whatever country they lived in. And then they had the language of the religion, the language of their religious practice, which was Hebrew. So there was a separate language that was designated for Avodat Hashem, and that language was Hebrew. Not everybody learned Hebrew, and not everybody understood Hebrew, especially the women in the Amei Aretz who were not taught Hebrew. They knew the common language because they spoke the common language, but they never knew Hebrew, because they never studied Hebrew or never learned in Hebrew. That's something that the Gemara comments on here, which is that the Nashim and Amei Aretz don't know Hebrew and they don't understand what's being said when it's being read to them in Hebrew. Now, in the modern era, that's changed for two reasons. One is that nowadays the women are educated as well, and so they also understand Hebrew. But we also have something different now in Eretz Yisrael, which is the first time in a very long time, in more than 2,000 years, which is that the common language of the people is also the language of the practice of religion, which is that there's no longer a language that's separate for religious practice. Now the Hebrew that's spoken on the street is the same Hebrew that's used in the service in Avodat Hashem. And so therefore the understanding of the Avodah and the understanding of Tefillah and everything that's being read is open to the common or open to everybody now, because the language is common between the spoken language and the practice, the religious language of religious practice, which is something that's very different than what had transpired for 2,000 years and what led to a lot of this problem or the distinction or the statement that the Gemara makes here, which is that Nashim and Amei Aretz don't understand what's being read in the Megillah. So Matkiv LaRavina, Atu Anan. What about us? What do we do with the words Ahachashtaranim B'nei Aramachim Miyadinan? Do we know what those words mean? Ela mitzvat kriya upresume nisa. The mitzvah is to read the Megillah and to be mefarsim the nes. Hachanami mitzvat kriya upresume nisa. Here too, the mitzvah is to read it and upresume nisa. Now, what does that mean that the chashtaranim b'nei rachamim mi yadinan? So here, the statement is that we don't know how to translate those words. That's one possibility of reading it. Or those words are clearly Persian words, and yet we read them, even though we can't translate them into Hebrew. We may know what they mean in Persian, but we still never get them into Hebrew because we don't know how to translate them. We don't know how to say them in Hebrew, so therefore we just use the Persian version of the words. What do they mean? In context, we know what they mean. In context, we know that it means these are the messengers. These are the people that were sent out to bring the messages or the delivery of the items or the decrees of the king. So contextually, we understand what they mean, but exactly what they mean, that we may not know. And the way that the Rabbeinu Chananel says it is, that the Nashim and the Arme Aretz don't know what the words Achashteranim b'nei Ramachim mean. So he obviously has a different gears than the Gemara. Over here, the way our Gemara reads is that we don't know what those words mean, and therefore the women and the Arme Aretz who don't know what the whole Megillah means are in no different status than we who don't understand parts of the Megillah. The way that the Rabbeinu Chanano has the gears is that this is what the women and the Arme Aretz don't understand, because these words are complex or Persian words that are not obviously translated. As Rashi explains over here about what does it mean that you kriya. Kriya means that you read it in Hebrew, so you yotze through the kriya, and presume nisa. So Rashi explains, afu pi shein yodim ma sheshomim, even if they don't know exactly what they're hearing, shoalim et hashomim, they ask the people around them who are listening, v'omrim mahi hakriya hazu, and they say, what is this that we're reading? V'echaya nesu modim lehem, and what transpired here? What was the nes? And then they tell them. So there are two things that come out of Rashi. First of all, presume nisa isn't necessarily hearing about the story. It has to prompt you to ask the question about what transpired. That's what the presume nisa is. The presume nisa is simply a facilitator, or a trigger for you to ask a question about what transpired. The second thing you see from Rashi is that you don't need to know everything or every single detail of the story. You need to know generally what took place in the story. And both of those are the accomplishment of presume nisa. So one must hear the entire Megillah, one must hear every word read, but what one gets out of the Megillah are two things. One is that they must ask a question, or they must realize that something miraculous happened over here. And number two is they must have some sense of what that miracle is in a summary form. And again, that might explain what the Gemara is saying about Achashtaranim b'nei Ramachim, which is that in context you can understand what they mean. So to over here, the presume nisa is a contextual requirement, which is that you hear the whole Megillah written, and then may not understand every word of the Megillah, may not even understand any of the words of the Megillah, but you understand generally what's being conveyed over here, and then context, that's enough, that you understand the context, or you understand what is being said generally, not every detail or every word that is being said. So there's two different mitzvot, which is basically the Mars bifurcating the mitzvah between the kriya and the presume nisa. The kriya is a simple requirement to hear every word that's written, either in a language that you understand, or in Hebrew, where you hear every word of the Megillah. And then the presume nisa, which is a separate requirement, is that you at least have a sense of what transpired over here. Or it triggers within you a question about what happens, and then you learn about the story of the Megillah. And that's separate from the kriya itself. The kriya may be a facilitator of that, but it's not the absolute presume nisa that's generated through the kriya. And now the Gemara moves on to the next line in the Mishnah, which is kara sirugin yatsa. If you read it piecemeal, then you're yotze. So as opposed to a korela mafreya, if you read it out of order, you're not yotze. Over here, if you read it in sections or in pieces, you're yotze. We had a similar gemara in Rosh Hashanah with regards to tkiya, that a person who blows the shofar over the entire day, the 9 kolot that they require until over the entire day, that's Rabbi Yochanan says over there, then yatsa. Yotze the mitzvah of tkiyot. So they don't have to be done sequentially. They can be done over a period of time in intervals. So now we have a Gemara, again, that we saw in Rosh Hashanah, it's the identical Gemara, which is a series of words which the Gemara tells us that the Chachamim were not aware of. These are Hebrew words that are either found in the Mishnah or Tanakh, but they needed them to be translated. And then once they're translated, they understand what the words mean. So lo ha'yadei rabbanan mai serugin. They didn't know what the exact definition of serugin was. Shamu la'amtu debei rabbi. They heard the maidservant in the house of Rabbi saying, deka amra lehu l'rabbanan. She said to rabbanan, davi aylei, that when they were entering piske, they were coming in dribs and drabs and piecemeal, when they came in, lebei rabbi, in that way, ad matai atem nechasim serugim. How long is it going to be that you come in serugim? How long is it going to be coming in these intervals or in this piecemeal fashion? So now they understood what serugim means. Serugim means exactly that. You read it in piecemeal or in intervals. Lo ve'yadara yirabanan mai chalog legot. They didn't know what this word meant. There are different translations of it. Some say it's purslane. Others say that it is podolux. Shemu ala amta de bei rabbi, damer le da hau gavro. She was saying to this individual, da hava kame vader par pechine. He was, again, here there's different translations. Some say he was peeling par pechine, which again is either purslane or podolux. Or mevader means he was scattering the seeds. He was putting the seeds out. She goes, how long are you going to scatter the seeds or throw these peels around? So, ata, ad matai ata mifazer chalog lukecha. When he was doing this, she said to him, how long is it going to be that you're going to spill out or put your peels all over the place of this chalog lukecha? or how long is it going to be that you are seeding or spreading out these seeds of the Chaglogogecha? So now they knew what the word meant. They now know that Chaloglogot is synonymous with Parpichine. Parpichine, they knew what it was. So now they understood what it was. Again, whether it's purslane or this podolox, they now knew the definition of the word because of the way that the maidservant of Rabbi's house spoke to this individual. They didn't understand the word Salsaleha Uturoma Mecca. So it says there about wisdom. It's talking about Bina or understanding wisdom, that Salsaleha, that whoever exalts her, Uturoma Mecca, she will promote you. Shamuel Amtu de Rabbi, Dava Amr Lahu Gavra, she was saying to this young man, to have a mahapech pemazie. He was playing with his hair, twisting his hair. How long are you going to be twisting or playing with your hair? If you look in Rashi on the Pasuk by Yosef, that he was Ben Shvasre, that he was a nar, over there, Rashi's comments that he's misalsel bisaro, that he used to play with his hair, he used to, you know, primp himself up. That's what misalsel bisaro means, to twist it or to play with your hair. It's used in modern Hebrew as well, misalsel bisaro. But that's now the understanding of what the pasuk means. Misalsel means to turn over or to play with. So that means that here, salsala, the one who exalts it or the one who gives attention to wisdom, utaroma mecca, it will give back to you, it will promote you. Lo havi yadi rabbanan mai hashlech al Hashem yahavcha. Rabbanan did not know what the pasuk means that you throw upon your Hashem. Yahavcha means your burden, but they didn't know what the word meant. So Amar Rabba Barchana zimna chara hava azilna b'hadei ha'utayo. We're going along with this Arab merchant, v'kadarina tuna, and I was carrying this large burden or bundle on my back. V'amili shkol yahavcha, take your load v'shadi agamlai and put it onto my camel. So now they understood what yahavcha means, your burden. So it means ashleich al Hashem yahavcha, throw on Hashem your burden. Obviously, it's a little difficult to understand how the Arab merchant knew the definition of the word versus the Chachamim, but it might be that they were looking for the definition of Yahavcha over here. Is Yahavcha mean that you can throw on Hashem and you can ask Him without providing payment, without doing anything? You can throw your burden upon Hashem? Or does Yahavcha mean that there is a quid pro quo, there's some sort of give and take, that you have to give to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and then he'll give to you? So that might be what they're asking about Yahavcha. The Yahavcha means that you throw the burden on without any compensation. And that's what happened here with the Taya, the Arab merchant, when he said to Rabba Barchano, throw your load on here. And he didn't charge him for it, even though he should have charged it for him, for putting the load on there. That's like the Yahavcha over here, that we can ask or throw our burden upon a Kodesh Baruch Hu and we don't have to pay anything, in the sense that we can even ask, even when we're not deserving, even when we haven't done anything, we can still throw our burdens upon Hashem and say, Hashem, we need your help. Hashem, we need you to intercede on our behalf. Lovi yadai rabbanon mai vitetetiha bimatate hashmeid. The translation of the pasuk is that I will sweep it away with a broom of destruction. This is a description of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do to Yerushalayim and to the people of Yerushalayim. So then they say, Shamuel Amta de Rabbi, Dava Amar da Chavertash. They heard the maidservant of Rabbi's house saying to her friend, Shkule Tateta, take the broom, Vetati Beita, and sweep up the house. So then they knew what the word meant. They knew that the word meant to sweep, the verb, and the noun was a broom. So again, used in modern day Hebrew as well, in terms of a broom and to sweep. Okay, now the Gemara moves on. Tanu Rabbanan, Kara Serugim Yatsa. If you read it in intervals, if you read it in piecemeal, you're Yotzei. Serusin, if you do it, Sirus, Lo Yatsa. And Rashi tells us, what does Sirus mean? Saresit Amikrova Darsheu. Many times the Gemara says, flip around the Pasuk, turn around the Pasuk, and be Doreshit. Means out of order. So if you read it out of order, that's what we said before, the Mafreya, you're not Yotzei. But Serugin, you are Yotzei. Rabbi Muna, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Af Beserugim. Even when you read it in piecemeal, im shaha kedei ligmor et kula chuzer l'rosh. If you wait enough time to finish the entirety, then you have to go back to the beginning. So Amar Rav Yosef, halacha ki Rabbi Muna, shamar mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha is like Rabbi Muna in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Abaye the Rav Yosef Kedei Ligmor Et Kula Meicha Dikai the Seifa Odomi Reisha the Seifa. When you say that it's enough time to finish it, does that mean from wherever you are, say in the Megillah, wherever you are in the Megillah, to wherever it would take you to finish it, that's how much time you have between the piecemeal times that you read it? Or is it from beginning to end of the Megillah? That's the determination of how big a gap you can have. So Amalei, Rav Yosef says back to his Talmid Abaye, Mereisha the Seifa. It must be that it's a case of reading from beginning to end of the Megillah. Dimken atata devercha l'shiurim. Because if not, then it would make it that you have a subjective amount of time that's left, depending where you're found on the Megillah, or depending where you're found in Kriyat Shema, or all these other areas where if you read it in piecemeal, you'd be Yotze, that it would matter where you are located inside of that saying, whether it's Kriyat Shema or Megillah, and then that would determine how much of an interval you could have. That means that it becomes a subjective matter. And we know that generally when the Chachamim establish Shiurim, those Shiurim are objective rather than subjective. So in order to be objective, it means that you have to have had enough time to finish or complete the entirety of that item, because then it'll be objective and everybody will have the same interval that you can have. That's how Rav Yosef explains it. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'aba, Amar Rav, Halacha ki Rabbi Muna. So we have in the name of Rav that the Halacha is like Rabbi Muna. Shmo Amar, ain't Halacha ki Rabbi Muna. That the Halacha is not like Rabbi Muna. Now, over here, when you have a machloket Rav and Shmuel, we would generally paskin like Rav, because here we're talking about Yisurim. And when it comes to Yisurim, halacha kirav. But you can see over here that Dein Mishpat, Ner Mitzvah, Zanein halacha kirav, kirabi Muna, which is what Shmuel's statement. So now, Besura matnu hachi, that's how they learned it in Surah. Bepumpadita matnu hachi, they said it this way, Amarav Kana, Amarav halacha kirabi Muna, Shmuel Amar, ain't halacha kirabi Muna. Now, the attribution is the same in terms of Rav and Shmuel, just a question of who quoted it in the name of Rav here. Whether it was Rav Kahana who quoted in the name of Rav, or was it Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'aba in the name of Rav. But then we have Rabbi Bibi Matni Ipcho. Rabbi Bibi reverses the attribution here and says, Rav Amar, ain't halacha ki Rabbi Muna. Shmuel Amar, halacha ki Rabbi Muna. Rav says halacha is not like Rabbi Muna. And Shmuel says halacha is like Rabbi Muna. So Amar Rav Yosef, Nakut Rabbi Bibi Biadech. He says, you should follow this statement of Rabbi Bibi, meaning that the attribution is Rav says the halacha is not like Rabbi Muna, and Shmuel says the halacha is Rabbi Muna. The Shmuel who the chayish lechido, because we find in other places that Shmuel is choshesh for a dat yachid, even though there's a rabbim that argue on him. But if the yachid is machmir, he's choshesh for that shita. The Tanan, we have a case shomeret yabam shikidesh achiv et achuta. You have a brother who passed away, and he left over a wife where he hadn't had children. Then you have numerous brothers who could possibly be miyabeim this woman. The mitzvahs we're going to learn in the Gemara in Yevamot is the mitzvah begadol, that the eldest child performed the yibum in this case. So someone other than the eldest child wants to marry a sister of this woman that was the wife of the brother that passed away. So we're going to say to him, Amrim lo hamtem, wait, ad yaseh achicha gadol maaseh. Wait until your older brother takes care of the situation. Let your older brother either be miyabeim, the yivama here, or do chalitza with her, whichever he wants to do. And after that's completed, you should go ahead and then you can marry the other sister. There's no problem with two brothers marrying two sisters. But right now, you may not do it. Now, the machloket here between Rabbi Yudim and Meteira and the Chachamim, as to whether you have to wait or not, has to do with a concept called zikata yibum. Zikata Yibum means that you have some sort of connection to the Yivama. The Chachamim believe, and this is the argument here, that you have no Zikat Yibum. When you have multiple brothers, each of which could perform the Yibum, and the mitzvah is directed towards the eldest brother over there, then you don't have any real connection to this woman because you're not necessarily the one who will marry her. There are numerous people who can marry her, and therefore there's no connection between you and this Yivama that would force you to wait till someone does something before you marry the sister. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira says that you have a connection to this woman, even though you're one of many people that could perform the Yibum here. All of you are connected to this woman until that relationship is severed by one of the brothers, either doing Yibum with her or doing Chalitza with her. But all of you have a connection to her, a connection that is strong enough to restrict you from marrying her sister. Because it would be the equivalent of marrying two sisters. You're already married to this woman, even though you're not really married to her. You're married to her because you have a connection to her, and you could possibly perform Yibum with her. that connection is enough to stop you from marrying your sister. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira over here. And Amar Shmuel Alokha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Even though Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira over there is a dat yachid, Shmuel says Alokha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, he's machmer and Alokha is like him. So Rabbi Yosef says that the same thing over here. Let's assume that Shmuel thinks Alokha is like Rabbi Muna because he's a dat yachid, and the Rabbim argue on him, but he would say the Alokha is like him. But that means that the attribution of Rav's position is that ain't Alokha Rabbi Muna, and that's why we see that the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah quotes Alokha by Shmuel, who says ain't Alokha Rabbi Muna. It's really the position of Rav according to Rabbi Bibi. And that's how we pass, and that's what Tosafot says over here. Damar Rav ain't Alokha Rabbi Muna shamar shechuzer l'rosh v'chein Alokha. Dein tzarich lachzor l'rosh d'Alokha ki Rav b'isurei. Damar kein v'Rabbi Yochanan kai kavatei. And Rabbi Yochanan holds like him in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah with regards to the tkiyot that I mentioned before, that you can blow the ninth tkiyot over the entirety of the day, and there's no requirement that you do within a fixed amount of time, or if you can finish all the tkiyot. Rabbi Yochanan argues on that. And then if you look later on, it's not clear what the circumstance is here, but it's very interesting. It says, "Umikan someich ri, shomei beyemet v'yatsiv." When he's in the middle of Kriyat Shema, he's in the latter brachot of Kriyat Shema, "Shimamtin." That he waits there to say all of those items, and then only afterwards finishes it off. So he clearly would have enough time to finish all of the Kriyat Shema, all of Birkot Kriyat Shema, yet he waits there and only finishes off afterwards in order to facilitate his ability to answer with the Tzibur, Kedusha, Barchu, and Yehesh Mei Rabba. It's not clear what he's answering to, because Barchu is before that point in time in davening. And Kedusha and Yehesh Mei Rabba can be before or after, but Kedusha is afterwards. It's not clear exactly what he's answering to, but what the Tosafot is pointing out is that the Ri stood there in the middle of Emet Yetziv, and not only was he not silent, he spoke. He actually answered other parts of davening, and he waited there longer than the period of time it would take for him to finish the entirety of the Kriyat Shema. Nevertheless, that wasn't a problem, because we passed like Rav, we passed like Rabbi Yochanan, that you have the entirety of the day to complete this. You do not, you're not bound by this idea that you have to be, to or have the intervals be shorter than the amount of time it would take to complete the entire thing. So if you look in Halacha, in Tafresh Tzadi, Sifhei, Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes this Halacha, he says, Karas Sirugim, when he reads the Sirugim, Dainu Shepasak Ba B'Shaha, that he stops and waits, V'char Kach Chazar L'Makom Shepasak, and then he goes back to finish it off in the place that he left off. Even if you wait the amount of time to finish the entirety of this, you are Yotze. So that's exactly what you said. The Halacha is like Rav, according to the position that ain't Halacha Rabbi Muna. Haga, the Ramah says over here, Va'afilu sach bentayim. Even if you speak in the interval, not only if you're silent in the interval, but even if you speak in the interval, Mio gorim b'misha sach bentayim. Nevertheless, we chastise, we dissuade people from doing that, because technically it's not a hefsek. Because you already had the bracha bichal on the first action that you took, the first reading that you took, or the first tkiya that you did. So therefore the bracha can continue to manifest itself even when you speak. But the Ramah says, better not to speak, because really the bracha is chal on the entirety of the mitzvah. So you really should complete the entire mitzvah without speaking. So better not to speak. But if you do speak, as long as you did it after you at least accomplished a portion of the mitzvah, then you do not have to go back and make the bracha again. That's the way we pass on Halacha. It's true in Kriyat Shema as well, except there is an afkamina. The Mishnah Berurah here doesn't mention it, but by Kriyat Shema he does mention, there's a big bear Halacha over there, that it depends why you have to stop. If you stop voluntarily, then this Halacha applies. Then you have this Halacha that you can continue whenever you please, and that you don't have to worry about the amount of time or the spacing of the interval. Again, you should be silent. You shouldn't be interrupting with anything else in the interim, but you have as much time as you want. On the other hand, if you are forced to stop because, for whatever reason, say, for instance, you go to a place, Makom HaTinofet, a place where you may not read Kriyat Shema, or because you had to go to the bathroom and you couldn't read Kriyat Shema there, then when you have an involuntary interruption, then this halacha does kick in. And then you have to worry about the interruption and whether you have to start again, and that has to do with the duration of the interruption. So if it's an involuntary interruption, then the duration does matter. But when it's a voluntary interruption, then the duration of the interval is not relevant. And now the Gemara continues over here. Tarabanan, Hishmit ba sofer otiot o psukim. If the Megillah is missing some letters or psukim, v'karana kore, Kimiturgumana mitargim. If he reads them like the way that the mitargim, like the translator does it by heart. So here, the person's reading the Megillah, he realizes that there are letters missing or pasuk missing, so he just reads it by heart. Yatsa. Then you're yotze. Meitve, is that really true? Hayuba otiot mitushtashot. If you have certain letters that are not so clear, o mikuraot, or they are torn, imrishumam nikar, if their outline, if their shape is noticeable, or you can tell that that was the letter, kshera, then it's fine. Vimla psula, not as pasuk. So over here you're telling me that you can read a pasuk even if it doesn't exist, and now you're telling me that you can't read it if the letters aren't clear, then it's not kasher. You just said before, if it's not there at all, it's kasher. Now you're telling me that you need some, if the letters are faded, then it's problematic. Where it says, lo kasha, abakula, abimikzata. It depends how much of the Megillah looks like this. If you have a small portion of the Megillah that looks like this, then it doesn't matter. You can read Baal Peh. You can fill in Baal Peh, whether it's missing, or whether the letters are faded, or whatever it is, you can read it Baal Peh. On the other hand, if the entire Megillah looks like this, then you have a problem. And you can't do that. So, Tana Banan, Hishmit ba akure pasuk echad. If the reader left out a pasuk, lo yomar, he shouldn't say akure at kula. I'll finish the whole thing. V'achakach akure oto pasuk. I'll go back and fill in the pasuk I missed. Ela akure me oto pasuk ve'elach. You have to go back and read sequentially from that point. That's the problem about akure lemafreya. You can't read out of order. You have to read in order. Yichnas the beit knesset. This is especially problematic by the Megillah. Person goes to shul. Matzat zibur shakuru chatzia. They're already halfway through the Megillah. Lo yomar akure chatzia im atzibur. I'll listen to the second half of the Megillah with the tzibur. And then I'll read the first half afterwards. You have to hear the Megillah from beginning to end. You have to hear it in order. You can't hear it out of order. You have to hear it sequentially. And that's the requirement that we have by Megillah, that a person come has to be there from the beginning of the Megillah all the way through. We do have the position that Mr. Brewer brings down the halacha, that if you are following along with a chumash, and for whatever reason you don't hear some of the words that the kore is reading, then you have the status like a kore in general. A kore in general, if you words are missing from the Megillah, you can read those words by heart. So to a person listening to the person who reads it, if he doesn't hear the words, it's not good enough, but he can make up for that by doing it himself. So that's why he says that he brings down Mishabira Koze, Kishasacha kore, Aval Shomea. That's only when the winner's reading speaks in between. Aval Shomea, a person who's listening, Shasach, Valo Shema, Yedezeh Kriya. For whatever reason, he says something, now he doesn't hear the Kriya from the Kore, Afilu Chiseh Rak Teva Chat. Even if you're missing one word, Dad Kam Poskim Delo Yatza. Then you're not Yotze, that's our Hakbada, to hear every word of the Megillah. V'chein Tzorach Gadol Liot Kluchol Echad Chumash. Everybody should have a Chumash in front of them when you're reading the Megillah. Ki Ba'od Shemekin HaNearim Haman. Because when all the youngsters are making noise when they get to Haman, Ukiyotze, sometimes you miss a couple of words. There's so much noise that you miss the word Haman. You miss the words that are around Haman. You can read Baal Peh from the Chumash. B'diavad, you're Yotze by the fact that you read it from the Chumash to fill in the pieces that you didn't hear from the Kore because of the noise of Haman. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that just like by the Kore, if you're missing some of the words from the Megillah, you can fill them in Baal Peh, so too, someone's listening to Megillah and misses some of the words, you can read them Baal Peh in order to fill in. Baal Peh meaning read them from Chumash. So it's not mitocha sefer to fill in what you missed. But of course, it has to be in order. You have to fill them in and then you have to continue to listen to the Chazan, what he reads afterwards. Right now, the Gemara continues. Mitnamneim yatsa. Someone who dozes off is yotze. Heichi dami. What's this case of dozing off? So mitnamneim amar ravashi nim velo nim tir velo tir. He is asleep but not asleep. He's awake but not awake. So this is similar to the Gemara we saw in Pesachim with regards to the Chabura for the Korban of Pesach. So the Kari Levani, if you call him, he answers. You say his name, he answers. If you ask him a complicated question, he won't be able to answer you. He won't be able to explain it to you. But if you tell him the answer, he'll be able to acknowledge whether that's correct or not. So a person is in a state of dozing off where he's not completely out. He is still some sort of recognition of what's transpiring around him, but he needs to be prompted in order to recognize or to be able to speak out. So he can answer as long as it's not complicated. And if he's prompted, he'll know what to answer, but he's not going to be able to, on his own, provide explanation. So if you're in that state of being, then you can be, you would say, the Megillah. Hayakotva dorsha umigia, imkiven libo yatza. If he's writing it, if he's being doreshit, or he's correcting it, then if he has kavanah, he's yotzei the Megillah. If he doesn't have kavanah, he's not yotzei. We spoke about this yesterday with regards to the Mishnah. So, Echidami, what's the case here? Ika mesader psuka psuka, the cut of love. He's going pasuk by pasuk and writing it. Kikiven libo, my havik. So, wait a minute. When he then is mekavin his heart, and he does it, what is the din? Alpehu. He's reading it by heart. Ella, dechta psuka psuka. No, he writes pasuk by pasuk, vikorile, and then he reads it. But says, umi yotza. Are you yotzei with that? That the halacha is like the one who says it has to all be there. That you only have to read from Yishudi. Even according to the one who says that you only have to read from Yishudi in order to be yotze the mitzvah of Kriyat Megillah, he still believes that the entire Megillah must be written. So even if you're going to go pasuk by pasuk, it's not enough to just read it pasuk by pasuk because you don't have the whole Megillah already written out. So then how is he yotze over here? This person is writing it pasuk by pasuk. How is he doing that? Demancha Megillah Kamei. He has another Megillah in front of him. Vikarila mina psuka psuka. He's reading pasuk by pasuk from that Megillah. Vikotavla. He's using that as his reference. He has a reference book or a reference Megillah in front of him. He reads pasuk in the Megillah and then he writes the pasuk in the Megillah. Reads a pasuk, writes a pasuk. So there he has the whole Megillah in front of him. And if he's kiven libo, he can be yotze with that, with the mitzvah, the kriya from the whole Megillah. Where it says, lema mesaile the rabba barbachano. Let's say that this supports the position of Rabbi Barchana, Damar Rabbi Barchana, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Asul Lichtov, Otachat, Shalom, Inektav. Not allowed to write anything in a Sefer, Torah, unless you read from the Ktav. You have to be read from a written Ktav, and then copied. You can't do it by heart. Tilma, Ditramilet, Rumet. But it says that's not a proof. Our case here in the Mishnah is not a proof to that, because maybe that's just the case in the Mishnah. Meaning that the Mishnah doesn't require you to read it mitoch haktav. It just says, if there's a case, if it happens to be a case where you read it mitoch haktav, then you are yotze in that case. So it's not telling you that that's an obligation, it's just telling you, if such a case arises, then you can be yotze the Megillah. So gufa, Amar Rabbi Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochan, Asur lechtov otachat, shlo min haktav. Now I'll write anything unless you're copying it out of something that's written in front of you. Meitavei, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Masib Rabbi Meir. There's a case by Rabbi Meir. We know that Rabbi Meir actually is a sofer himself. Shalach Laber Shana Beasya. He went to intercalate the calendar in Asya. Here, Asya is likely not Asia. Here, it's not discussed by the Rishonim here, but it's discussed in other places in the Rishonim, because in general, we only do Be'aber Shana in Eretz Yisrael itself. So it's likely that Asya is in Eretz Yisrael, or you have to say that the Gadol Ador was out in Asya. And sometimes if the Gadol Ador is out there, then they allow you to do this outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'lo yasham Megillah. There was no Megillah there. V'katva milibo v'kara. He wrote the Megillah by heart, and then they used that to read to be yotze the mitzvah of Megillah. So again, Rabbi Meir is a sofer himself. He's a lavlar. He learned by Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. That's a Gemara in Eruvin that discusses that. So over here, they didn't have Megillah, so he went ahead and he wrote it by heart, with the Megillah. So that's against this position of Rabbi Barchana. I'm Rabbi Bo, shiny Rabbi Meir, to Mekayim Be. Rabbi Meir is different because with him it says, V'afa pecha yeshru negdecha. So at the beginning of the pasuk is, V'yu enecha, that your eyes should be rod mi negdecha, should see what is opposite you. And then over here, Ve'yu enecha wrote mi nochach. And then it says, Ve'afa pecha yeshu negdecha. And that your eyelids should look directly in front of you. So that means that it's as if it's right in front of him. That's what they're learning from the pasuk, that even though it wasn't written, he has what they call photographic memory, but it's as if he can look in his eyelids, and it's as if he's looking at a ktav that's written in front of him. So it's as if it has the written word in front of him. Samalei Rami Barchama Rabbi Yirmiya Midifti Mai Vavapecha Yeshu Negdecha. Amarlo Elu Divrei Torah. That refers to Divrei Torah. Dichtiv, because it says in another place in Mishlei, Hataif Einecha Bo. Will you set your eyes upon it? Or the other translation is, if you look away from it, Ve'enenu, and it's no longer there, it disappears. And that's referring to Divrei Torah. That if you leave Divrei Torah, if you move away from them, they will leave you as well. So here you see that the idea of atif enecha bo, that you have to keep your eyes constantly focused on it. Fafilo achi, Yusharim Meitzel Rebbe Meir. Despite that fact, for Rebbe Meir, it still was that way. So for a normal person, if they glance away, then they forget, and it's no longer there. That's why you have to do Mitoch Haktav, because if you look away, it won't work. Nevertheless, for Rebbe Meir was exceptional, that even when he didn't have the Ktav in front of him, it's as if the Ktav was in front of him. So when it says, Rav Chista, Ashkechel Rav Chananel, Tavakotav Sfarim, Shlomin Haktav, that he was writing Sfarim, not from the written word. Amrlei Ruya Kola Torah Kola Dikadeva Picha says, look, you are a Talmid Chacham, you are an Adam Gadol, and you are Ra'oi to write the entire Torah. Alakach Amru Chachamim. You still have to follow the words of the Chachamim. Asur Lichtov Otachash, Lo Minaktav. You have to, like Rabbi Barchana says, write from Mitoch Haktav, even though you know everything. Midamar Kola Torah Kula Ruya Shikitika Deva Picha, the fact that he compliments him and says the whole Torah should be written, you could write the whole Torah Alpeh, means Mechalad Misharim Heinetzlo, that he knew them, and he had the same status as Rabbi Meir. And nevertheless, he's saying that you can't do this. So, Vaha Rabbi Meir Ktav. So then how are we going to explain Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir, if he has the same status as Rabbi Chananel, and yet Rabbi Chista criticized him, then why was Rabbi Meir allowed to read it without it being written in front of him? They had no choice. They were in a place where there was no Ktav. They had no other way to write the Megillah. So that was a shat atchak. So he did it in that way. That's not lechatchila. That's bidiavad. Bidiavad, if you wrote it from Baal Peh, then it's fine. But lechatchila, you should write a mitoch haktav. Abayi shor ledbei bar chabu, the michta tefillin mizuzot, shalom in ektav. So Abayi was matir, the bei bar chabu, who were sofrim, to write their tefillin mizuzot, not reading them out of the ktav. Kiman, who's that like? Ki hai tano, it's like this tano, the tano rabiru mer mishum rabbeinu, Tfilenu mezuzot nichtavot shalom in ektav. You can write tfilenu mezuzot not directly from something that's written. Vein tzrichim sirtut, and they do not require the etching of the lines in them to write them based on the lines that are etched in. Vehilchata, the loch is, and zalocha moshe misinai, tfilen ein tzrichim sirtut, tfilen do not require the etching of the lines to write them. Mezuzot tzrichim sirtut, but mezuzot do require sirtut. Idi vidi, both tfilenu mezuzot nichtavot shalom in ektav. They can be written not from something that is in writing. My taima, migras grisin. This is something that is shkura b'fia kol. These are partial that everybody knows. And since everybody knows them, and everybody knows them by heart, then it's not something that you're going to make a mistake about. It's not something they have to do mitoch ha-ktav. We've spoken about this in other contexts. This also has another nafkamina l'alocha, which is that you can read kriyat shema by heart. Even though generally something that is mina Torah, shebichtav, you have to read mitoch ha-ktav. Many times people read kriyat shema by heart. Why is that allowed? Because of exactly this point. Because Migras Grisina, something that everybody knows, something that everybody's familiar with, they're not going to make mistakes in it, and therefore it's permitted to read it Shalom in Ektav. Now again, in all these cases, it's better to do a Mitoch Ektav, both when you're reading Kriyat Shema for Davening, and as well as when you're writing Tefillin and Mizuzot, it's better to do it Mitoch Ektav. Right now, we're going to finish off with the last piece of the Mishnah, which is Haktav Tuva B'Sam. So these are different inks that are pasul to be used. It says, sam is samo. So here the words in the Mishnah are in Hebrew. So now the Gemara needs to translate them into Aramaic to understand what the Mishnah meant. So sam is samo, which is some sort of paint or dye. Sikra, amar Rav Chana, sikrata shma. Sikra is the equivalent of sikrata, which is translated in English as vermilion. Rashi over here says it is a red dye or paint that they use actually to color the shutters on the windows. Kumus is the equivalent of kuma, which is some sort of gum or sap that is used. Kankatum is charta dushkape. That is the black of the shoemakers that they use to blacken the shoes. Over here, there's a machlok between Rashi and Tosafot as to what that is, or the translation of that is. Rashi says that that's armint, and Tosafot disagrees and says that it can't be armint over here, because the katav u'macha gabisota k'tiv sheyacholim chot, it has to be a k'tav that you're able to erase. And dio that has kankantum on it cannot be erased. So therefore, it must be that kankantum is not armint, because we use armint all the time, and we see that it gets erased, and it's not kankantum. So he says that it must be, like what the Rashbam says, that kankantum over here is vitrilio. So that he translates it different than Rashi about what it is. Others suggest that kankantum is some sort of copper-based ink. As Tosfot mentions over there, like the Rashbam, that it's green, that the actual Kankatum was green and not black. And he says maybe when you crush it up, it turns black. Diftera. Now we're talking about not the inks, but the paper or the parchment upon which it's written. What is diftera? Diftera is the meliach. It was worked over with salt, the kemiach, and also with flour, flour soaked in water. But v'lo apitz, but it was not put into the gallnuts. Niyar that you can't use is machaka. Machaka, Rashi says, is minasavim asuya de devek, or it's really like papyrus, a type of paper that was put together. Neither of those are kasher. What you have to use is klaf. And again, Tosafot discusses over here ardyo, as well as the klaf that we have. He says, I'll say for dyo, perish or benotam, she dyo shalanu hu dyo gamur, aval shalafatzim lo avi dyo. That ardyo, our ink that we use today, is the proper ink. But if you put the gallnuts in it, then it's not good ink. And he says that he learns out from the Gemara in the second parak of Gitin. Because it says, b'chol kotvim, you're allowed to write with any type of ink, as long as it's something shel kayama. It's something that will last. And over there, the Gemara says, "Mishan le'tuye hadatano." What does that come to include? It comes to even include afatzim. So it shows you there that afatzim is separate from the ink that we have. So that means that shemamina ikar dyo does not have afatzim in it. Does not have gallnuts in it. That's number one. That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. The reason Rabbeinu Tam is saying that is because most inks did have afatzim in it. He says, "Vashkanazim eshivlo tahata mayri b'mayim shesharu behem afatzim." That's talking about water that was soaked in gallnuts. Oto shasumi gufa afatzim, ink that is made from the gallnuts themselves, vadai hu tov, then it's definitely good. Nevertheless, Tosfot says, I think that what the Rabbeinu Tam says, that what we use is the main dyo. And the reason he says is because the ink that we use has to, the Gemara says, have shvira, possibility of cracking. And if you look, if you use the ink with afatzim in it, it doesn't crack. But our ink that we use with our dyo does crack, and therefore that is the proper way to use it. The other thing Tosfot says is that our klaf today, we don't use afatzim, we don't use gallnuts in order to work over or to tan the klafim today. So how is it that our klaf is kasher? So again, the Rabbeinu Tam says that the sid, the lime that we put in, is the equivalent of the afatzim. It does the same thing as the afatzim, and therefore that is tanning the skins to the point where it's classified as klaf. So it's interesting here, both times Rabbeinu Tam jumps in, one time to say that, even though the Gemara here requires afitz to work over the klaf, even though we don't use it, it's okay, because we have something else. We have sid, we use lime instead. And with regards to the ink, he says that the afitzim doesn't belong in it, even though that was the common practice in the day, he says it doesn't belong in the ink. The two things that Rabbeinu Tam says, and the two things that we actually follow from the Rabbeinu Tam in terms of working over the klaf and the dyo that we use today. All right. Now it says that Tav Achete Ktava Shurit, that's be written in Hebrew, Tikhtev Kichtavam Uchizmanam. Because it says Kichtavam, it has to be written Biktiva, the Ktiva of Lashon HaKodesh. Allah Sefer B'dyo, Nyalan, how do we know that it has to be that way? Achet Ktiva Ktiva. Ktiva, it says here by the Megillah, Tikhtov Esther HaMalka'ah, that she wrote it down. Ktiva Tom, and it says in Yirmiyahu. This is a case in Yirmiyahu where Yirmiyahu was incarcerated, and he has his Talmid Baruch Meneriah write down a Megillah which is the equivalent of probably what was Eicha. He has them write down a Megillah and go read it to the people to tell them what's going to happen when they're on one of their fast days to Yerushalayim and how they're going to be destroyed. So then he reads it to the people, and then the Sofrim call him in and say we should read it again to them. Baruch, they ask him, where did you get this Megillah from? Baruch says to them, Mipiv Ikra Eli. Yirmiyahu would say it over. It's called Adrim Eile, Vani Kutev Ala Sefer B'dyo. And I was writing it on the book with ink. So you see that the proper type of ktiva is ala sefer on klaf with dyo with ink. So too the ktiva by Megillat Esther has that same requirement of ala sefer b'dyo. Just like when Baruch writes down what Yirmiyahu was saying, he's listening to him and writing it directly down, ala sefer b'dyo. So too, that's the way that the Megillah must be written, ala sefer b'dyo. Okay, we'll stop over here.